So let's please turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Last week, Jeremy taught on the love of God and the fear of God compels us to be ambassadors of Christ, even if some think that we're beside ourselves. And then this week, Paul pours out his heart to them about why he is what he is, why he's obsessed with giving them the truth and fighting for the truth, because as we know, the Corinthian church was being infiltrated by false teachers that were questioning Paul's authority and trying to sow seeds of doubt in the people. And Paul, is this whole letter is just, please just see that our heart is devoted to you for the reasons of the gospel of Jesus. You haven't really opened your hearts to us to receive this message. You don't really listen to us. You listen to these other guys. And he's saying, I'm just telling you, please open your hearts. And actually gives the reason why they're not. And the reason why they're not is they're yoking with the world. They're walking in sin, yoking with people of the world. And so Paul says, you need to stop it. Now, there's no fellowship of Christ with Belial. And see, people that are, and I've noticed this in the church today, people have a heart to just, God, just pour your word into my life. And I want it to rule my life. If people then start getting into the world, they don't want to hear anything. And so Paul was the word. You know, God was giving Paul the word that we now read as the Bible. But they were closing their ears, sticking their fingers in their ears. I want to listen to these other people that they say something different than you because they were walking in sin. And if we see James says, if you see a brother that's going, you know, go in and help deliver them from that situation. And where would we take them? To this chapter. Chapter 6 is we're in 5, starting in 5, but we closed with 5 last week. But chapter 6 is a good place to take them. But as a lead-in, chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, we watched the Metamorphosis video on Sunday evening to watch a caterpillar. They completely dissolve in the chrysalis, and then they remake themselves into a butterfly. And it is so amazing to realize that God did that, to just try and help show the evolutionists what fools they are, because evolution cannot explain that process. They can't explain metamorphosis. And I think God also gave it to us for this purpose. You know, you are, the old life is supposed to disintegrate, and the new life is coming to be. And we're new creatures in Christ. God is changing us from glory to glory. And all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So it is our, see, we're ambassadors of this reconciliation, message of reconciliation. And so our mission is to tell people God sent Jesus into the world so that you could be reconciled to him through Jesus, back to God, the way God intended in the future, through Jesus Christ who came to take away your sin. That is what Jesus came to do. And as soon as we know that as a new man, new woman in Jesus, that's our mission. Everybody should be able to say, oh yeah, she is an ambassador of God. They say they're an ambassador of God. What's the thing? They're always into Jesus. They're always trying to tell me I can be reconciled back to God. That should be our mission. It should be seen as that. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And Paul is recognizing some of these people in the Corinthian church are fake. And we're pleading with you to get fully reconciled to God. For he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God took our sin upon his son, Jesus. Jesus says, give me all your sin, all the people that have ever lived. And if you believe and trust in me, I will give you the righteousness. And that's what allows us to be reconciled to God. Because God then sees the righteousness of Christ placed upon us by faith, that we are made righteous in his sight, and it's imputed to us. And that's our mission. And it's such a glorious thing, I mean, to think about that, that we get to spend eternity with the God who created the heavens and the earth, even though we had sinned and rebelled against him. And how glorious that is to spend eternity, and in exchange we should be wanting to be ambassadors. And it goes on to talk about that in chapter 6. We then, because of all that we just read and everything before that, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in the Old Testament scriptures, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So Paul, at the end of chapter 5, is alluding to the fact that some of them aren't saved. You know, I'm pleading with you on behalf of God, be reconciled to God. And now he's saying, we then, as workers together with him, plead with you to not receive the grace of God in vain. You know, grace is offered, but a lot of people take that grace of God, well, as long as I really don't have to get serious about Jesus, you know, I can be religious, I can be a Catholic and trust in Mary and the Pope and everything else. And so they take the name of Jesus, they take the offered grace, and then they mess it up like the false teachers were doing in Corinth. And what Paul is saying, you do that, you're doing it in vain. You're receiving the grace of God in vain, because it's not to be 100% sold out, nothing but Jesus. Nothing but, you know, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And anybody that adds anything to that is a false teacher and has received whatever grace they think they've received. They haven't received saving grace. They have twisted things. They play church as a worker, but aren't, and see, those people are not compelled to tell people about Jesus. And yeah, again, churches are across the world are filled with people that are not a worker for Jesus because they don't really believe it. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. A quote from Isaiah, portion of Isaiah 49, which is, we must be born again. I shared that with the Thrive group on Monday. I hope you're all born again. I hope you're not just here playing, because that's what happens. And I told our own church, I hope you don't come here and think that because you come, you're saved. Because you read the Bible, you're saved. Because you put money in the plate, you're saved. Doesn't matter. That matters nothing. It only matters whether or not we've received the grace of God by as prescribed by him and have received everlasting life and the seal of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is my Savior and I'm going to live for him. We give no offense in anything. Paul says we give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. And he's going to go on and explain what he means by that. He's saying, look at what we do. We are not talking, I believe in Jesus, and then I love Jesus, and going out getting drunk, getting high on drugs, committing sexual immorality, doing all this other stuff. Why are we making sure that we give no offense in anything so that the ministry will not be blamed? And if we're trying to save somebody from drowning, you know, imagine somebody's in a lake and they're drowning, and you're going with a speedboat, you're just going around being crazy and reckless, and they just want to get away. They'll go, I want to drown now so I don't get hit by the propeller. You know, and so, or you're trying to save somebody that's, you know, an animal that's caught in a trap. You want to come gently, you want to let them understand the condition that they're in and be gentle and help them. And what Paul is saying is we are treating you with kid gloves to make sure, and to make sure that we have no offense in the ministry that we'd be messed up. In fact, it's all over the internet, but again, we're part of the Calvary Chapel movement. And one of the things that's all over the internet is, oh, Calvary Chapel movement, it started out by a homosexual. And you probably haven't heard that, but it's out there. It's not Chuck Smith. People will say it didn't start with Chuck Smith, but it really did start with Chuck Smith. But what they say is, and it's a fact, that Chuck Smith, he took in a hippie who had become born again, and his name was Lonnie Frisbee, and he had a gift of gab, He had a gift of teaching, and he got up there and he taught, and a lot of the, you know, people are saying those kids only came for him. No, they didn't, because I was a kid and I was going to hear Pastor Chuck and the people that taught the way Pastor Chuck. I mean, I came for the Word of God. Thousands came from the Word of God. But some people were drawn by Lonnie Frisbee, a long-haired hippie guy. And it turns out he was teaching the Bible at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. It would be turned over to Chuck, you know, but he'd be teaching something. And then Chuck ultimately had to say, you know, Lonnie, you're a little bit weird on what you say. You're not trained, and so you're fired as a Bible teacher. And what was happening is he was teaching and then going to the homosexual bars and stuff and got AIDS and died. A horrible curse to the ministry of Calvary Chapel because of talking one thing, you know, saying, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I have the grace of God, I'm going to live in the grace of God, I'm going to live the homosexual lifestyle, and, you know, and just scam people. Yeah. So, we give no offense. We don't want to do that, right? I don't, you know, Jeremy taught about the rewards. I don't want to lose rewards. Even if I'm really, and somebody truly saved can fall into sin and be a bad witness, like David, like King David. That doesn't mean you're not saved. But you're gonna mess up the ministry. You know, and Paul was saying to give no offense to the ministry. King David gave an offense to the ministry, didn't he? And it suffered. The nation suffered. But he still had a heart for God. But he caused a disruption. And Paul's saying, I'm not going to do that. And he didn't do that. Praise God. Aren't we glad Paul didn't have issues going on? And so we give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience. And then it goes on from there. You know, so a Christian should be known to be patient. We commend ourselves to God, and first item, patience. And then he goes in tribulations. I can suffer. Did Paul suffer tribulations? Beaten, everything else? Didn't pick up a sword and start killing people and everything? If he would have just done any of that, if Paul would have just once taken a knife out and said, you know, stop, I'm a minister of the gospel, and killed somebody. And the whole New Testament gets written different. Scott, could you turn it down just a little bit? There's a little bit of feedback. Are you guys hearing the feedback coming in? Thanks, Scott. In needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, riots, in labors, in everything that I do on the job, in sleeplessness, in fasting. Paul's saying, even through all this stuff, we as Christians should just be thinking, I want to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus. I don't want to let any of these troubles of life take away from my ability to tell somebody about Jesus and then say, oh yeah, really? You know, I heard you cuss and swear and go nuts. I saw you go to the, you know, you needed dessert. You felt like you deserved a break today and went out and got a bottle and got wasted and, you know, all this other stuff. We just don't want to do that for the sake of the gospel. By purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness. These are, you can read about these in Galatians as the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? So when we're reading the Word of God, it comes inside of us. The Holy Spirit changes us, molds us into these fruits of the Holy Spirit, which are love, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. You know, all fruits of the Spirit, by honor and dishonor. He's saying whether somebody says, hey, you know, that guy's an apostle of Jesus Christ, by honor or by dishonor. Oh, those Christians are a bunch of crazies. Whether they are honoring or dishonoring. It used to be that to be a Christian, oh, you're a Christian, or oh, you're a pastor, we'll give you a reduction, you know, give you a penny sometime, or, you know, a cut, and, you know, getting a hotel or whatever. Oh, you're a pastor, we'll give you a cut. And now it's like, oh, you're a pastor. Yeah. It's just, we've moved into the dishonor phase of life. Verse 8, again, by evil report and good report. Even if, they, you know, as deceivers and yet true. He says, even if they call you a deceiver, and yet we know we're telling the truth. And it kind of comes up on, again, we're teaching the Bible, and we feel like, as I was mentioning earlier in our announcement time, you know, that teaching the dispensational view, people can say, oh, you're deceiving people away from knowing that the church is going to take over the world. Well, you know, you can call me a deceiver. I know what the truth is. I've read the end of the book. Jesus doesn't come after we've taken over the world. Jesus comes when the world is in shambles and about to all be killed. Everybody, you know, Jesus says that if he delayed his coming anymore, there'd be no flesh left on earth. That doesn't sound like the church took over. And so, yeah, call me a deceiver. Call us deceivers. Even talking about Jesus, there's only one true way. Oh, you guys are so, you're not really true Christians. You say there's only one way and you just don't appreciate these other religions. They call us deceivers. But that's okay, because yet true. We're telling the truth and we can't be bothered by it. We can't lose our witness because they think this of us. As unknown, yet well known to God. Right? And yet well known. Who are we well known to? To God. Who cares what people know, what they know about us? As dying, and behold, we live. Who cares if I die? If I'm dying, I know I'm going to live by faith in the Son of God. As chastened, and yet not killed. Now, when do we get chastened? Chastened by God. But isn't it nice he doesn't kill us? You know, he allows us to be chastened. You know, when we do fall into different sins, or we're letting our life get a little bit messed up, because he loves us, he'll chasten us, but he's not killing us. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. How? So, you know, looking at a previous study, as sorrowful, why are we sorrowful? Are we sorrowful? As Christians, is it okay to be sorrowful? Yeah, blessed are they that mourn. And this world is a sorrowful world, isn't it? And see, and what's sorrowful is what we see with our eyes. We see all the agony and suffering. It says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. How can we rejoice? You know, Paul says, we're not looking for the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. Our hearts are where the things that are not seen, which are the things that are eternal. The things that are seen is temporary. So we know all the sorrows of the world are not going to be the end all. We know that the world is not going to keep on churning, you know, as the world burns, you know, as the stomach churns, and, you know, the soap operas, you know, as the world turns, it used to be, and I would say as the world burns, you know, but that's going to be temporary. And we know the eternal condition is going to be the Lord coming and making it all right. As poor, yet making many rich. How do we make people rich? As soon as they believe in Jesus, they can be a pauper as far as the world's concerned, poor. But as soon as they get their knees bowed and they get their tongues confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and believing in his resurrection and knowing he's the only way, truth, and life, they become eternally rich. And that's what Paul is saying. We've made many rich people as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Everything that we have, if we know it's all temporary, we know it's a blessing from God that we have. You know, God wants us to have what we have in our hands. It's just ready to have nothing, and yet we possess all things because we're inheriting everything from God. Eternal life with Jesus. Verse 11, O Corinth, you know, after all this, this is Paul saying in those verses, this is what we've done in ministering to you. This is what we've done in all of Asia. This is what we did in Macedonia before we came down to here, Thessalonica and all these other places. And now we come to you, O Corinthians. We have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. We have been completely open and transparent with you in every way, in our devotion and our love for you and what we've shared with you. You are not restricted by us. We're not restricting you, but you are restricted by your own affections towards us, which are lacking. We're not restricting you. We're not giving you any excuse to hold back about believing that we're apostles sent by God to tell you these things. But you're restricted by your own affections, which are lacking. You know, if they were listening to false teachers, they were having earlier chapter, you know, 1 Corinthians, they were having factions. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. There are factions and all these divisions that were going on in the church. And we've been trying to teach you and send Titus over there, but you haven't been listening to us. Your affections are not to listen. Should our affections be to listen to the Word of God? See, if any of you ever get into a situation, I just don't want to believe that. You know, dealing with something that you might be tested in, struggling, temptation in your life. I don't want to read this part of the Bible. Then your affections towards God are the same way the Corinthians were towards Paul. Saying God's completely open. He shared his affections. He loves us, wants us to be discipled and reconciled to him completely and grow in our sanctifying love for him and holiness with him. He's completely open-hearted with us, but our affections are held up by God. I don't want you to touch that part of my life. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. I want you to repent and be open to us. And then it's going to go on to these following verses, he's basically saying, which means getting away from those who are not. I want you to open up to us, to repent of your keeping a closed heart. I want you to open up, and here's how. By stop listening to these false teachers and these people in the world and having your lives wrapped up in the world. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What's the answer to that? What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? You know, I mean, the cops and the robbers hang out all the time. But where? At jail. You know, one's on that side of the bars and the other's on this side of the bars. You know, the people that represent righteousness, they don't want to have anything to do with the people that are causing all the problems in society. There should be no affections of joining with unrighteous people at all. And again, except for the fact of leading them to Jesus, you know, to go to them and to say, you know, you got to get right with God or there's going to be a judgment day. But, and I was talking to somebody the other day, young lady, doesn't go to our church. And she said, hey, you know, I understand you know the Bible and I have a question for you. And it was a situation within her family. After asking a bunch of questions, she finally came out, well, what I'm thinking, this Christian is telling me that I shouldn't go in to a rental thing with these other people, that I should instead stay on my own as a Christian, get my own living situation going. And I say, well, what's the situation you're thinking of? Are they saved? No. Are they shacking up? Are some of them shacking up together? Yes. You know, the Christian that's telling you don't do that is because they love you because of this verse. What fellowship has Christ with Belial? What fellowship is light with darkness? Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know, it will only go south. You know, see, this person wants to serve Jesus, but the devil's there saying, oh, you've got this financial situation and you've got to go here. And it's easy to discern. No, because I want to open up my heart to the Word of God and say, that's not the solution because I'm not going to be affecting them. They're going to be affecting me because that's what happens in situations like that. And unless you feel like you can evangelize them all in one day and they're all going to repent and come to Jesus, because otherwise over time, you know, they're going to say, I don't want to hear your Jesus and we're going to keep doing this. And then it's going to affect this young lady. So, I did pray for her that she would be obedient to this biblical injunction from God. This is what I want you to do. That's my heart to you. Now, if you have the heart, you're going to listen. If you're not, you're going to have problems. What communion has light with darkness? None. Taking part in being with darkness is to reduce your light. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Belial is a demonic Satan god. You know, it's an idol. And what fellowship? There is an article. I tried to look for it again. I saw it, and I'm scanning all these news sites that some Christian Satanists are going to get together on the East Coast someplace. Did anybody see that article this week? It was on Rapture Ready or something. I couldn't find it. Christian Satanists. Only in this last days, about to be turned into the tribulation period, would anybody feel like saying, "Oh yeah, we're Christian Satanists." And, oh, yeah, really? Okay, yeah. Most people don't see the problem in that. And here we have Christ and Belial. Yeah, we can be Christ and Belial together. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? None. And you know, God made this. He made this pretty strong in my life early on because I was hanging with non-believers, doing what non-believers do in the Navy. And when I got saved, and since then, it's been, I can't even stand to live in the darkness with people. I just, when I have to go to like work situations or, you know, an after work party where it's, you know, you're doing a Christmas party or something else, I just feel like I am a total alien. I can't even identify with it. And we should feel that way. And I mean, God should make us feel that way. I mean, we love them. We care for them. We witness to them. But if, you know, I know there's people that Christians that can go and they can tip suds with them and feel like they're doing okay. And I said, you've lost your witness. I said, you lost your witness. They're going to see the difference. They're going to see that there's a difference between what you say and what you do. And it's going to hinder our ability to communicate with them. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? None. And we are, for you are the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. And that's in Leviticus 26, Jeremiah 32, Ezekiel 37 is, you know, what Paul is quoting from. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. And this is something that's really important. And if you ever get tempted to hang with cruddy buddies, you know, you like doing it, you're going to know you're in serious, serious trouble if you don't feel something inside of you, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit saying, what in the world are you doing? Because God says he has placed the Holy Spirit inside of us. And God has said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That means that we can do actions that the Holy Spirit's in there and he's going, you know, I'm trapped in here. What are you doing here with Christ? I mean, with Belial. What are you doing here in darkness? What are you doing here supporting these things? What are you doing watching this stuff? What are you doing? You're grieving me. And that's what Ephesians 4:25 says. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And then verse 30 is what I'm getting to. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And Paul is implying here in this letter, he's implying by if you're hanging around with people stealing, if you're hanging around with people that are using the Lord's name in vain and blaspheming and you join with them and saying all kinds of swear words, if you're doing any of the stuff that he's listing here, then you're grieving the Holy Spirit that's inside you. And, you know, you could talk to the, quote, church at large. And if you don't care and you think, what's wrong with going and getting high with your friends? It's a Super Bowl, you know, or whatever else it is. Then you say, oh, maybe because you don't have a Holy Spirit. Maybe because you aren't truly born again. And you don't have the Holy Spirit. That's grieving inside and convicting you that you need to turn around and get truly saved. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Back to 2 Corinthians 6:16. And I will dwell, as God says, I will dwell in them and walk among them. He's inside of us. If you're a true believer, listen to that still small voice. When people are inviting you to something, oh, I shouldn't be doing that. And, or the, you're checking Netflix. Oh, I probably shouldn't be watching that. You know, listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And so he's encouraging us. You know, you were in the world, you Corinthians were in the world. You got all kinds of worldly problems still in your life. You're not listening to us tell you about the holy walk with God. The Holy Spirit's inside of those that are truly saved. Maybe some of you aren't. I'm compelling you. I'm begging you to be reconciled to God and receive the grace of God truly instead of in vain. And I want you to get saved. And this is the sample of what it's going to be. And because he wants to live inside of us, we have to get out from the uncleanness. And that quote out of verse 18 is from the Davidic covenant of where God made a promise to David that he's going to bring a Messiah who's going to make his own house, which is us. And then we're going to do four verses in chapter 7 to just keep the context, because it goes, therefore. So everything that we just studied, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Holiness. Who talks about holiness anymore? Oh, that's the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament God holiness. You know, New Testament grace. Yeah. Right here we have Paul, New Testament. He's saying, because of all this, our necessity to have a witness, the fact that there is a battle between darkness and light, and because the world is always at our mind worse today than any time in human history, the world is there at our face, ready to tempt us into the darkness and being co-laboring with the world, being yoked to the world. And therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. How? By dying. By just saying, I cannot do what the world wants me to do. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. As, you know, Paul, as Jeremy explained last week, you know, the terror of God really meant fear of God, which is that healthy fear of God. He's coming back. Open your hearts to us. So now he's saying that you didn't have your hearts open to us. And here's why. Everything that we just covered in chapter 6. And now he's saying, so live in holiness so that you can, verse 2, open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. There is no reason why you should not receive what we've said. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together, to die to our flesh together, to live together. If they want to persecute us, to die with you, we'll die with you because we want to live with you. We have the promises of everlasting life. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I'm exceedingly joyful in all of our tribulation. Everything that's happened, I don't care what they've done to me. I don't care what's happening. I just want you to listen to the true gospel of Jesus and be set aside from the world and to live in holiness with God and reproduce. Keep this message pure. Don't let the false teachers mess it up. And then it's going to go on and explain more in the chapter about how to do that, which will be covered next week, Lord willing, if we're still here. So, I mean, it really is an amazing thing, and it is so hard. And, you know, there is the grace of God, and he forgives us for when we fall, right? Praise God for that. And he's merciful that he doesn't give us what we deserve. But he's also, if we're really his, he's going to discipline us if we get out of line. And what Paul is emphasizing is the more we think about the mission of being an ambassador to God, for God, in this world, we'll say, I don't want to do that because I don't want to ruin my witness. And that is such a driving power to help us to walk in the light and not to walk in darkness. It's a death of the flesh. We're going to hate having to do it. You know, our flesh wants to flesh out. And yet he forgives us. He disciples us all differently. He is Right. So he's discipling. There's a what I just said it earlier. That when we're maturing in the Lord, we're being sanctified differently. You know, some of the things that were easy for me, you know, that verse about let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. I mean, God just so powerfully said, Kevin, your language is going to change. I know people that struggle with it. And it's not for me to judge or worry about, but it's something that God is saying to everybody and saying that our mouth should not reflect the world. It should reflect the things of Jesus. And some people struggle with alcohol. It was just done, you know, for the, to be perfectly honest, it was never a problem. And then it got to the point of when I became a pastor, none, you know, none. And it's not hard. It's easy. I know people that they struggle with it. And this section of scripture is here to help them. But if I struggle with it, then I can lose my witness. That should be this driving force. I will grieve the Holy Spirit inside me, and I will lose my witness. And may God help us to walk with Him. Amen. Father, we thank You, and I do pray for this group and our entire church, that, Lord, You would help us to, you know, it just seems like this isn't even a goal anymore, and many, many, many people that profess to know You, Lord, and the quote church. And I pray that You would help us to be different, Lord, to be willing to die to the flesh in every way for the sake of what You've called us to do, and to be a witness, and to never allow something to corrupt us, God. And when we do, that You would just let the Holy Spirit scream at us, God, that we could truly listen and hear and open our hearts to You and agree with Your Spirit that something needs to change. And we thank You for Your Spirit, Lord. We thank You for Your Word. And we thank You that You've given us a promise to get us out of here, and it appears someday soon. And we just can't wait. Until then, help us to be faithful until You come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God in the song.
Holiness. Holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what You want from me. Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform. Take my will, conform it to Yours, O Lord. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what You want from me. Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to Yours, O Lord. Righteousness, righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Righteousness, righteousness is what You gave to me. Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, O Lord. To yours, O Lord. To yours, O Lord.
Praise Jesus. What a perfect chorus to finish that off. And may that be our prayer. I mean, if you just did memorize that as a prayer, it's such a cool hymn or chorus. God bless you. Keep you in his care till we can fellowship again.